Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. I'd like now to welcome to the program Jason Silverman. He is the director of the Cinematheque at the CCA. He's a filmmaker. He's a 2011 Sundance Fellow. Welcome, Jason.
Good morning.
Great to have you back. Now, this is the KSFR Fund Drive, and this is the time to call 428-1393 and make a contribution to the station. We do this twice a year. We've been doing these little one-day fund drives here and there, but basically twice a year we go on once a week to basically raise the money to bring you this program and all the programs on KSFR without commercial interruption. You're a donor, Jason. Why do you give to KSFR?
Because there's no pop-up ads.
That's true. There's no ads. There's underwriting, which is very mild and very little of it compared to commercial radio.
Yeah, the whole structure is all about celebrating independent thought and creativity and that's one of the things that makes Santa Fe so special is there's so many independent thinkers here, artists, visionaries, and then there's institutions and structures that support them, and KSFR is as important as any of them. I mean, it's a alternative to commercial radio, which only exists to make money. You know, your show exists to share big thoughts and to connect people with the community, and I don't want any of us to take it for granted. I don't. I'm going to write my check today.
Yay, thank you. 428-1393. I think you've put your finger on the issue, which is commercial radio and indeed commercial entities in general exist to make money. Now, some of them also have other ideologies, and a lot of them don't. 428-1393. But KSFR exists to serve the community. And that's it. That there's no other reason for our existence. Not only are we not making loads of money, we're barely surviving, which is why we go on the telephone, but we are here to bring you music, to bring you news, to bring you shows like the Radio Cafe.
And to make you think.
And to make you think.
Which, a lot of the corporate information system is designed to keep you from thinking. And I love how you ask tough questions. And how you explore complicated issues, and how you take your time with your guests, and how we get to meet the world in a different way every morning.
We have joining us by phone David Barsamian. He is a world-renowned journalist. He is the host of Alternative Radio, which probably many of you of our listeners know. And he was recently deported from India after having gone there to do some stories about Kashmir. Welcome, David, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be on my favorite radio program and my favorite radio station in Santa Fe, KSFR.
Thank you so much, David. Now, we're going to hear your story, and while people are listening to it, we encourage them also to give a call and make their donation, and make it now. Once you make it, you're done for the week. You don't even have to think about it for another 6 months. 428-1393 is the number. Now, David, you about, just over a week ago went to India. You've been to India many, many, many times. You are fluent in Hindi and Urdu. You play the sitar. You have friends and near family in India. You went to India, and at the airport, they turned you away. What happened?
Well, I presented my passport to the immigration officials there, and I was immediately told to wait there, and the officer went away and came back with several other officers, and they asked me to come with them into a room where I was placed on a sofa and told to wait here, and I was, very anxious, a little bit, and concerned at this point. And I asked one of the officers, what's going on? Why am I being held? And I said I had people waiting outside for me to pick me up. This is around 1 o'clock in the morning, by the way, New Delhi time. And another officer came in and waved a piece of paper in my face and said, we have an order banning you from India, and you will return to the United States on the same flight that you came on. And I was able to get a peek at that piece of paper, I could see the Lufthansa flight number, my name, and the word banned on it. And I asked, of course, I want an explanation. What's going on? Why is this happening? And he said, we don't know. Mind you, it's a very Kafkaesque-like situation to be in this a legal twilight zone, limbo, as it were. You have no rights. I'm sure people experience that when they go to the Albuquerque airport or to the Denver airport, wherever, particularly in this, you know, hysterical era we're living in now of excessive surveillance. I mean, it's much more likely that you'll be, you know, hit by lightning than to be killed in a terrorist attack. And so I was placed on that very same flight I came in on, and one of the unfortunate aspects also of being denied entry is you get to pay for your own denial. And so I completely lost my round-trip ticket, which was considerably expensive, and I returned to the United States on the same day, Friday, September 23rd. A very remarkable, I must say, and I'm so thrilled about it, campaign has been launched in India, led by Arundhati Roy, Vandana Shiva, the filmmaker Sanjay Kak, the well-known economist Jean Drez, and many other civil society leaders, Aruna Roy. They have signed a petition. They have mobilized support to pressure the Indian government to lift its ban. So right now, to date, I still don't know what happened. I've received no explanation from the government of India, and the various things that have been reported in the Indian press are simply not plausible.
Why do you think you were denied entry?
Because of my coverage on various issues, internal Indian issues, which make New Delhi extremely uncomfortable. I was set to interview Dr. Binayak Sen yesterday, October 2nd, which is Mahatma Gandhi's birthday, incidentally. Dr. Binayak Sen is I think one of the major international human rights figures in the world today. He's virtually unknown in the United States. I've done a program on him. He's a leading medical doctor who went into the jungles of Chhattisgarh, one of India's poorest states, and provided medical services and opened clinics to the Adivasi population, the indigenous population that lives there, many of whom had never seen a doctor or a clinic in their lives. He has been imprisoned by the state government there. He's currently out on bail, and I was set to interview him yesterday. I've reported on the displacement of hundreds of thousands of people in central India due to these big dam projects on the Narmada River. I've reported on the farmer suicides in India. Something like 200,000 or more farmers have killed themselves in recent years. I've reported on the massacres of Muslims in the state of Gujarat. I've reported on economic issues, displacement of indigenous people and others in West Bengal. But I think the central issue that makes New Delhi very, very nervous, just as Tibet makes China very, very nervous, is the issue of Kashmir. And I've been on your program and have talked about it in detail. In Kashmir, there is an independence movement that seeks to break away from the Indian Union. It began in 1989. Tens of thousands of Kashmiris have been killed. Many more have been wounded. Thousands have been disappeared. And the latest breaking aspect of this ongoing story of Kashmir, which is largely occluded and obscured in the corporate-controlled media in the United States, is the uncovering of mass graves all over Kashmir. For those of your listeners who are familiar with Central America and recent history and in South America, will know of the phenomenon of the disappeared, where thousands of people were literally, kidnapped and then vanished into thin air. Well, as Arundhati Roy says, the dead are now talking. because their graves have been found. And this is a huge embarrassment to the Indian government, which likes to promote itself as the world's largest democracy.
We're talking to David Barsamian, and once again, our telephone number here is 505-428-1393. If this is news that you have not heard before, and if it's important to you, please give us a call and make a donation to KSFR, 428-1393. David, I mean, the thing about the stories that you're telling is these are stories that, by and large, we don't read in the New York Times. We hear them on alternative radio. You are a one man with a telephone, a computer, and not a huge expense account, and you are reporting these stories that some of these media empires with untold thousands of reporters and budgets, even in this time of cutbacks for newspapers, they still have far more resources than you have. You're reporting on it. They're not. Why?
Well, I don't want to, you know, present myself as some kind of a hero, but I'm very interested in India, and I've been going there since 1966, as you said in your introduction. I've immersed myself in its culture and history, and I have a very, very close ties with that country. The reason it's not being covered in any significant way in the corporate-controlled media is because the corporate-controlled media takes its cues from Washington, largely on international issues. And India is seen and presented as an ally of the United States in South Asia and a crucial component of the so-called war on terror, which Obama has euphemistically retitled as Overseas Contingency Operation. So India has gotten a very good press here historically, quite in contrast to neighboring Pakistan and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and Afghanistan. It is seen by people like Thomas Friedman and Charlie Rose and others as a gleaming light in Asia, full of brilliant young high-tech webmasters and internet mavens and the like. But there are very harsh realities in India, which is a so-called emerging economy. 800 million people are living on less than 50 cents a day. And the poverty levels have very much paralleling what's going on in the United States, by the way. The rich have gotten much, much richer. There are many more of them, and the poor have gotten much more poor, and there are many more of them. So it's a story worth covering, but has been clouded because of U.S. Economic and military and geostrategic interests in India.
Why Kashmir in particular? Why is that such a what would you say, militarized zone? Why are
it is the most militarized zone in the world. From what we are able to know, some 700,000 Indian security forces are in Kashmir, making this the most densely occupied piece of real estate on the planet. Kashmir is rich in water resources. It has enormous rivers, the great glaciers of the Himalayas, which ring the Kashmir Valley, deliver huge amounts of water and hydroelectric power. And so while Kashmiri villages and even towns and cities are often dark because of lack of electricity, the capital, New Delhi, which is hundreds of miles away and home to some 20 million people, is lit up 24/7. So Kashmir has enormous strategic value in terms of its water resources. It is also, geographically speaking, bordered by China, bordered by Pakistan. So you have that element. It was the gateway. It was part of the Silk Road to Central Asia. So neighboring Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, these are all kind of culturally linked historically. And part of the mythology that the Indian government has been very successful in promoting internationally, particularly in the United States, is that India is as I mentioned, the world's largest democracy. It is a secular democracy. And Kashmir is key to that claim because it is the only Indian state that is majority, overwhelmingly, Muslim. And so India is able to tell, you know, the West Asian Arabs, North African Arabs, you know, we have a large Muslim population. They are safe and secure and are not threatened in any way. So Kashmir occupies a special place in the Indian cultural and political imagination. The first Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, was a Kashmiri. So there were deep emotional ties to the Kashmir Valley by the Nehru dynasty, which has basically dominated Indian politics since 1947.
We're talking to David Barsamian. We're going to take just a little quick break right now for you, ladies and gentlemen, to give a call, 505-428-1393. Make a pledge. Make a pledge now to KSFR. Jason Silverman is with me right now.
Well, it's interesting that the state of India decides that an independent journalist is so dangerous that they'll ban him from the country.
I know.
And that goes to show just how important these independent voices are for people who disagree with the status quo, who challenge it, who question it. And so you can see what's at stake for the people who are in power. And those of us who have questions about the corporate-owned media, about the stories we're receiving, it's something like KSFR, an outlet like KSFR is essential. It's a gold mine for us.
428-1393, 428-1393. I think the thing that has been lost is that for any democracy, it's actually good for that democracy to be criticized. When it makes missteps, when it makes misdeeds, when it does really bad things, if the independent media, or if the media in general, call them out and criticize them, that actually makes the nation stronger. Because if a democracy turns into a militaristic state, it's not good for anybody. And in the long run, it has no future. So that's what independent media are all about. That's what the media, all the media, should be about. Basically, that function has been relegated to the smallest players, stations like KSFR, shows like Alternative Radio with David Barsamian. If you want to get the reality of what's going on in India, that's where you have to go.
There's a lot at stake.
428-1393. We're taking just a little break now because I know that everybody wants to hear what David has to say. So we're going to let you call right now, 428-1393. That's in the area code 505. And Mary Lynn LeBlanc is in the control room, and she's going to tell us what the toll-free number is because I can't remember.
Okay, here you go. 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And we do have a few people to thank.
Yay,
too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Earl James loves the Radio Cafe, so thank you, Earl. And I know that they're on the phones right now, so I don't have the names for those people. But George Comenteris has challenged all who still remember the TACT Club to pledge to call us now, 428-1393.
Excellent. Oh, I don't remember the TAC Club, so we'll have to find out what that is. But if you remember, call 428-1393 or 866-907-5737.
Did you set a goal for the show?
Yes. We have a goal for the show. The goal for the show is $1,500, $1,500. That is the goal for this show. So let us reach that, and Mary Lynn can give us updates as to how far we've gotten toward that goal. It's halfway through the show right now, almost. It's 8:26, so let's see what we can do by 9 o'clock. I know we can do it if you just make that call right now. $1,500 by 9 o'clock. Should be fairly easy to accomplish. 428-1393. And I have to say, David Barsamian's show, Alternative Radio, is one that I've been listening to since I was probably about 28 years old. And it has changed my way and affected and kind of built my way of seeing the world because he explores beyond. I mean, I remember when I was young, I would read the New York Times when I was in high school and college, and I could not understand it. I would read these stories, and they didn't make any sense to me. And then I started reading The Nation. I started listening to alternative radio. I started listening to public radio, and it filled in the backstory. And the backstory is what helps you to understand what is missing in these mainstream publications.
Well, what's important to know is that the corporate-owned media give only a very limited story. And, of course, the stories that they tell are the way we know how to exist in the world. We learn how to interact with the world and each other through the stories we receive. And the stories we receive in this culture are generally told through that one corporate-owned, profit-driven channel in its various forms. And so hearing these other stories, especially stories like David's from around the world, give us a new opportunity to burst that unreality bubble that we are nurtured in. And I have the same response to alternative radio and to your show and to other shows on KSFR and KUNM that they open my eyes and they make me see the world in a different way. And we need that today. We need that kind of outside-of-the-box thinking.
David, before we go back to talking about India, which we'll do in just a moment, tell us how and why you started the program Alternative Radio.
Well, just to echo what Jason and you have been saying, I was very dissatisfied with how the news was presented as a commodified product by a corporate-driven, profit-driven political economy. And I decided to do something about it on a whim with no background in journalism or in radio or in any of these things. As you alluded to, I was actually trying to make my living as a sitar player in New York after I had returned from India. I decided when I came to Boulder in 1978, I had the great good fortune, synchronicity, serendipity, that KGNU, a local community radio station, just went on the air, and they were looking for volunteers, and I didn't have a job at the time, and I said, okay, let me volunteer. And that was the kernel of alternative radio, and in 1986, I began broadcasting nationally. So this year marks the 25th anniversary of alternative radio. And alternative radio depends on stations like KSFR and KGNU in Boulder and KBOO in Portland, Oregon, and WMNF in Tampa, Florida, and many other community radio stations around the country that do, as Jason said, think outside the box, that break through the corporate imposed silences on the news. You know, there's like so many no-go areas that we have in our political and economic life that cannot be discussed. Alternative radio seeks to break through those kind of taboo areas and provide news and information that people can't get anywhere else. And I think it's really important that people call right now, 428-1393, 428-1393, or toll-free 866-907-KSFR, 866-907-KSFR, and put your money where your ears are right now. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your brain to KSFR. Become a new or renewed listener member. It's a very modest goal, $1,500 for the hour for the Radio Cafe, which is one of the best programs of its kind anywhere in the United States. I know Mary Charlotte does a tremendous amount of preparation and research in preparing for each and every program. She's a voracious reader. She does, you know, she's really does a Herculean effort to present the best possible program every weekday morning for you. So in a way, it's a referendum on the radio station KSFR. It's a referendum on the Radio Cafe. Right now, we're asking you to vote. Don't be on the sidelines. Don't, you know, say, well, I'll get around to it, you know, maybe next week. We won't be there next week. We're asking you to call right now, 428-1393, and give whatever is convenient for your particular budget. If it's if you can give $1,500 in one shot, great. If you can give $150, whatever is appropriate for your particular budget, it's important that you call right now and vote for democracy, because Radio Cafe is a kind of audio oxygen for democracy. Our democracy is largely being suffocated. It is largely being constrained by these corporate media monopolies, and we need to breathe, re-energize independent media, and that's what the Radio Cafe is about, that's what alternative radio is about, that's what KSFR is about. So call right now. Thank you.
428-1393. David Barsamian, host of Alternative Radio. Jason Silverman, director of the Cinematheque at the CCA.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there's a lot of towns the size of Santa Fe that don't have their own public radio station, that
That's
don't
true.
Have independently owned media outlets. And so the opportunity to give to KSFR is actually a privilege. And people talk about this as an obligation. You need to support your independent radio station. This is a privilege. It's a privilege to have something like this here. It's one of the things, it's one of the elements that makes Santa Fe truly special, a place where we can hear about the world in out-of-the-box ways.
We've made just a little over $200. Our goal is $1,500. So in the next half hour, we've got a lot of work to do. Please step up, make that contribution. Let's get us to the $1,500 goal, 505-428-1393. It's interesting, David used the oxygen metaphor in a suffocated culture. I always think of it as a an undernourished sort of junk food eating society in a culture where good, nutritious food is food for the mind, food for the soul is waiting for you in these independent media outlets like KSFR. I forgot to mention, and Jason just reminded me, we are also, and if this is a motivation, then that would be excellent, we are giving away to anybody who makes a contribution of $75 or more a pass, a punch card for the CCA, so you can go to, what is it, eight movies.
At the CCA, great deal.
The best movies anywhere. I mean, the CCA has some of the best, because of Jason, selections of cinema in the northern New Mexico. They have fantastic movies. We feature a lot of them here on KSFR, on the Radio Cafe. We get their directors and actors on the air. And if you want to go to eight movies, make a contribution to KSFR, make a contribution anyway, and then as an added bonus, we will send you one of these punch cards, and you can start going to the movies. You can take your friends. If four of you want to go at a time, you can use four punches on the punch card. 505-428-1393, 428-1393. David, let's go back to India. You have done a lot of in-depth interviews with people from Kashmir, and you have explored so much about not only what's going on there politically, but how this military occupation affects the daily life of ordinary people. What does it look like on the street?
Even before you get to the street, you land at the Srinagar airport. Srinagar is the capital of Kashmir, and you feel like you're entering another country. Foreigners are pulled aside and are asked to fill out a special form as to where they are going, who they're going to meet with, how long they're going to stay, and that kind of thing. So the airport itself is highly militarized. As soon as you come out of the airport, there's concertina wire everywhere. There are watchtowers, there are bunkers. The entire Kashmir Valley is dotted with military bases and intelligence centers and prisons and police stations. You cannot walk, you cannot drive anywhere without encountering this. And I've never been in such a militarized zone. The level of surveillance is extremely high. All phone calls are monitored, cell phones are monitored, emails are read. There is heavy surveillance. I know for a fact, when I was there a couple of years ago, I was most recently there in February, but a couple of years ago, after I gave a lecture, the intelligence services, if you can call them that, went and interviewed the people who were attending the lecture, wanting to know the details of what I said. This was a public forum. It was actually on Christmas Day, as I recall now, exactly 4 years ago. When I was there in February, there was a big article in the local English language newspaper, called Greater Kashmir. that I'm sure made the Indian government very uncomfortable, because I had talked about the analogies between Tahrir Square and the various revolts and rebellions in West Asia and North Africa, and compared them to Kashmir. I think the comparison, the analogy, is urgent and acute, because Kashmir was experiencing its Tahrir Squares as early as 2008, when over a million Kashmiris, out of a population of only 7 or 8 million, turned out to peacefully demonstrate for their rights of self-determination at the Eidgah, which is a huge mosque right outside of Srinagar. I dare say that no one even knows that this happened here in the world's second largest democracy, because it wasn't reported. It was the wrong story. So Kashmir has been in the lead in terms of nonviolent civil disobedience, and that too makes the Indian government extremely nervous and edgy, because, you know, for two reasons. Obviously, one is, you know, here's the land of Gandhi and the Buddha, nonviolence and civil disobedience, and they are ruthlessly crushing nonviolence civil disobedience. And this speaks to another issue, and that is about state violence. States have monopolies on violence. They control the security forces. They have the army. They have helicopter gunships. They have tanks and armored cars and police and a vast network of militarized units. And so any violence plays into the hands of the state. And India was perfectly happy as long as the Kashmir rebellion, which began in earnest in 1989, was violent. Because it could also point to the world, well, these are terrorists, they are fueled by outside agitation, that is to say Kashmir, the hapless Kashmiris are, that is to say Pakistan, the hapless Kashmiris are just pawns in the hands of these evil outside forces. But when that movement morphed into nonviolence and civil disobedience, it became a huge moral and propaganda problem for the Indian state. How could they ruthlessly crush nonviolent civil disobedience demonstrators who are demanding their rights of sovereignty? And to speak of, you know, the historical background of this, 1947, the British quit India, the subcontinent is partitioned, Kashmir is an unresolved issue from that partition, because the majority at that time, as now, is overwhelmingly Muslim. The Maharaja, the king of Kashmir at the time, was a Hindu, and under great pressure from Nehru, the first prime minister of independent India, the Maharaja decided to go against the wishes of his population and opted to join the Indian Union. So that's kind of the root of the political conflict.
We're talking to David Barsamyan, and we are getting closer to reaching our goal. We're about halfway there, actually more than halfway there. We have passed the $800 mark. Please keep the phones ringing, 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393.
David, you've been doing this for so long. Can you talk about, and you've been doing it around the world, can you talk about the state of independent journalism and censorship around the world? Is India remarkable in the way that it's repressing independent media?
Unfortunately, it's not. And as we've seen in West Asia, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, South Asia as well, journalists are being killed in alarmingly large numbers. They're being banned from entering countries. They're being imprisoned. They're being harassed. They're being intimidated. They're denied access to conflict zones. This is a very, very serious issue, because if independent journalists cannot get to where these stories are, then the state then has a monopoly on the propaganda. They are able to control the flow of information. So this is there's a committee to protect journalists in New York that has done a lot of work on this. There's PEN, also based in New York, PEN, that has been fighting for the rights of journalists and even writers. have come under attack, like the great Bangladeshi novelist and essayist Taslima Nasreen. She was run out of Bangladesh by Islamic fundamentalists because she dared to write critically of Islam. She then got a refugee status in India, and she was also driven out of India for her views, and now she's living in Sweden. The case of Salman Rushdie is well known. That's not journalism per se, but it's about freedom of expression. A fatwa is issued by the Ayatollah in Iran condemning Rushdie to death because he dared to write a novel I dare say that the person issuing the fatwa had never read. So this is a trend that is accelerating in recent years, limiting freedom of expression, limiting freedom of the press, and freedom of movement. We don't have to go far. We can see that right here in our own country, where our freedoms are being curtailed. You know, just go to the Albuquerque airport. It's on display right there every time you go through and try and get on a flight. And I must say, just to add a little tidbit here, on that deportation flight from India, once we left Frankfurt to fly back to Denver, the Lufthansa pilot announced, due to a new regulation demanded or imposed by the Department of Homeland Security, no one will be allowed to stand on international flights coming into the United States. So, I said, what does this mean? Like, you can't go to the bathroom? You got to hold it? Or go in your pants? Oh, no, you can go to the bathroom, but you can't stand up in the aisles. You can't, like, exercise and stretch. You know, these are 10, 12-hour flights from Europe to Denver and therefore from Europe to South Asia. I do yoga. I get up. I stretch. It's very uncomfortable to sit in a chair for 10 or 11 hours, you know, just watching DVD movies. And so this shows you the level, I think, of hysteria, the level of fear-mongering. We're always under threat. New threats are issued. There's, code red, code yellow. Report all suspicious characters to the nearest law enforcement officer or TSA officer. What is that supposed to mean? Someone looks at me cross-eyed. I'm supposed to go to a TSA officer and say, that person looks really menacing. You know, he's got a three-day-old stubble. And he's wearing a baseball cap backwards. Does that qualify as a suspicious character that needs to be reported?
Well, and there's this something bad happens, and then the response is do something, do anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's rational.
Yeah, has the battle over the kind of stories that the public hears intensified, David? Is it more, do they understand the power of these stories and the power of the stories of resistance that independent media tell?
And before you answer that, David, I want to give the number one more time, 505-428-1393. We need the phones ringing. We've just passed $1,000. We're on our way to $1,500 goal for this hour. Okay, David Barsamian, go ahead.
Absolutely. These stories demand to be heard, demand to be told. And, of course, it's in the interest of powerful entities, be they private corporations or states, to not only control that flow of information, but actually to transform it into astroturfing so we get so-called fake science that is churned out at the behest of the oil and chemical industries to supposedly present evidence that global climate change is not happening, that global warming is not happening, or if it's happening, it's not happening at a rate that the overwhelming number of scientists do say it is happening. And so knowledge is absolutely central to the functioning of any democratic state, if it wants to call itself democratic. And if that knowledge is in the hands of a few corporations, a handful of corporations, the media monopolies, the Foxes, the CNNs, the CBSs, ABCs, and NBCs, then democracy itself is threatened. And we see that there's around the country, a great unease about what is happening to American democracy, the fact that our freedoms are being more and more constrained and more limited. And parallel with that, of course, has been censorship, control of information. Look at the response to WikiLeaks. I mean, I think WikiLeaks is, you know, should be awarded the Nobel Prize. If, you know, Barack Obama had any sense of fair play and justice, he would give the Nobel Prize that he received, which he absolutely did not deserve, and give it to WikiLeaks for doing a tremendous amount of work in providing information. Look at the response of states all over the world, from Australia to the United States, to the release of those documents, to the release of information. They went ballistic. They're in numerous countries are considering criminal prosecution of Julian Assange and his associates. I think they should be celebrated. I think they should be honored for having the courage to release documents which show the internal workings of imperialism and the war-making machine of the United States and its allies.
We're talking to David Barsamian. I think what you're saying underlines a point which cannot be stated too many times. There is no one form of government which is good or bad. The problem that we're looking at is the problem of censorship, militarism, repression. It's not some idea or ideology. And, left-wing, right-wing, religious, atheist, all kinds of societies engage in these practices, which are utterly toxic to a society and to the ordinary people living within it. And this is precisely what independent media are there to, in their way and in their limited budgets and in their limited time, that they are here to remedy. 4281393, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important. 428-1393. Give us a call. Make a contribution. I think we're going to get to our, we're almost going to get to our $1,500 goal. Let us go over that goal. Jason Silverman.
Paul Hawken wrote this great book called Blessed Unrest, and it's about all of the independent thinking people and organizations that are working, in this loosely affiliated movement to confront all of the things that David's talking about and that Mary Charlotte talks about every weekday morning. And he talks about the little organization that's in the spare bedroom, and from there to Greenpeace, people who are working to try to confront the corporate powers, basically. And it's a headless, unorganized movement, but it's a movement. And Santa Fe is blessed to have so many tentacles of this movement.
That's true.
I like to think of the Cinematheque as one of them.
Absolutely.
I think everything from Site Santa Fe to the opera are part of this. They're providing alternative stories, different ways of seeing. The Santa Fe Reporter, the New Mexican, KSFR, KUNM, all of them provide different ways of seeing the world, different ways of connecting with people outside of the commodity culture. And it's incredibly valuable, and it's what makes Santa Fe a special place to live in.
505-428-1393. And the toll-free number, if you are on a landline, you're out of state, you're out of the area, is 866-907-5737. 866-907-5737 or 907 KSFR. We had Jeremy Scahill on the air here a couple of years ago, and he made several visits to Santa Fe, and he said that he's been to a lot of radio and television interviews and a lot of broadcast studios, and he said the quality of the equipment in the studio is an inverse relationship to the quality of the questions that the interviewer asks. So you go to these places with beautifully polished brass and glass and all kinds of things, and the interviewers will say, "What's your book about?" And then you go to these places with the microphones duct taped together and holes in the carpet, and they will talk in depth about what was on page 179. And that is the reality of broadcast journalism in this country.
People might not know what Mary Charlotte's elaborate soundproofing is in her studio.
at the baking company.
At the baking company. But it's four pieces of carpet tile that are put on one of the baking company's tables. She pulls, you know, her little board out of this closet here, and we're sitting on chairs.
And we really do have duct tape on.
There's duct tape. It's real. And, you know, there's coffee stains on the wall, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's what it's about. It's not. It's about the message.
It's about the message. It's not about the fancy stuff around the message.
There's no fat in your budget, is there?
No, there's no fat, but sometimes there's not even any meat. And so we need the meat, ladies and gentlemen. Give a call.
We need it. Santa Fe needs it.
We need you to help us right now by calling 505-428-1393. Yet another food metaphor. You're not providing any fat. You're not feeding a greedy organization. We're just running on bare bones and just barely making a living, making it by. But that's okay, because that's how stations like this are. And 428-1393 is the number. And Marilyn will tell us in just a few minutes, or I'll tell you what numbers we're up to. We're looking for that $1,500 goal. David Barsamian. Oh, yes, Marilyn.
Oh, I was going to say, because I've got so many thank yous. And Mary Charlotte, we've been so busy on the phones that we haven't quite got the total. We might even be over the amount, but it's not quite clear.
Not clear.
Let's make sure we're there. Can I go through these thank yous?
Yes, please.
Thanks, Lindley. Jill Heipenheimer.
Yay.
She pledges in honor of Barbara Lanning, who's having her 80th birthday. Holly, Perla Swanson, Nancy Suter, Charles Forrest, Frederick Weinsling, and there's more. Sherry Mann D'Avila, Maureen Robbins. This is the TAC Club. I think I did those. There was also... and I left it in the other room. There's the OK Lake OK Wingay. Marcus called in and gave a pledge. So many people. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. This is very exciting, and this shows that everything we're talking about is ringing a bell in the minds of our wonderful listeners. 505-428-1393. Please bring us over that $1,500 goal. We're not quite there yet. David Barsamian, I think the thing that I also get from what you're talking about is that people are fundamentally storytellers, and they make meaning through stories, and getting true stories and getting deep stories is what you're all about.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, what KSFR represents and what your program in particular represents is an island of audio independence in an ocean of corporate control. And we need to grow these islands. And, you know, to extend the food metaphor, you know, we need more nutrition, not less nutrition. We need shade-grown, organic, gluten-free, healthy choices in the media market as well. Many of us are conscious about food choices that we make. We don't want to have, you know, pesticides or additives or chemicals in our food. And we have to think about media in the same way, making healthy choices. And the Radio Cafe and KSFR and Alternative Radio, I think, are healthy choices. And we're asking you right now, and I know that it's the baseball playoff season, to step up to the plate. You can hit a home run right now in the bottom of the ninth inning with, the bases loaded and two strikes. You can win the game by calling 428-1393, 428-1393, and give whatever is convenient for your particular budget. If that's, if it's $50, $150, $500, whatever you can afford. But the station needs to hear from you right now. The number again, Mary Charlotte, is 428-1393. 428-1393.
And the punch cards for the CCA have all been taken, so we're delighted about that. People will be able to go get to see movies at the CCA. Of course, you can go to see movies at the CCA anyway. You can buy punch cards over there. But Right now is the time to call 505-428-1393. And this is the Santa Fe Metaphor Cafe.
I want more metaphors, David.
Now we're doing
more metaphors.
Yeah, no, I love your metaphors.
I'm churning them out as we speak. You know, think of this as an incredible downhill ski opportunity if you're skiers. This is smooth sailing. No rough moguls or rocks or trees in your way. You have a clear path to listen to, if you contribute right now to KSFR, with guilt-free ears. You know, we can say, well, I did my part. I am part of KSFR. I called Mary Charlotte during the Radio Cafe. You know, I put my money where my ears are, and that's an important thing right now. And so we're asking you to step up and call the radio station and become a new or renewed listener member and to give whatever at whatever level is appropriate for your particular budget. But we need to hear from you right now, not next week, not next month, not next year, but right now in the couple of minutes we have remaining on Radio Cafe.
428-1393. At the heart of this, I think there is a deep in the stories that David Barsamyan tells and in the stories that we tell on KSFR, there is a, at least this is how I see it, at the root of it all, there's a deep compassion, because what we want is basically to live in peace with each other, to tell each other the truth, to not fight, to not oppress each other, to not hurt each other, but basically to live the kind of lives that so many of us in Santa Fe actually do live. It may not be happy every day, but basically we do not have surveillance and concertina wire and people with pointing guns at us at every single email that we send read and people interrogating us at every turn. That's not how we live. That's not how we want to live. When other people are living that way for whatever reasons of militarism and censorship and resource control are at issue, we tell those stories because we know it's wrong. And we know that whatever is being done to others, we don't want that done to ourselves, therefore we don't want it done to anybody. And that's what it's all about. I think that one of the messages in the corporate media not only is about consumption, but it's about it's okay if it happens to other people. And David Barsamyan says, no, it's not okay.
One of the voices that I brought to your listeners in New Mexico recently was Himanshu Kumar, who, like Binayak Sen, is one of the, you know, giants in the world today, should be a household name. We did a program called Gandhian Activism, that the spirit of Mahatma Gandhi is still alive in India, and he is one of its major practitioners. And so those are the kinds of voices and the kinds of, if I could use a plural here, the inspirations that you hear on independent media, or that you read about in independent media, that you cannot find anywhere else. I dare say, none of the corporate media even know who Himanshu Kumar is. Yet listeners in New Mexico get to hear an exclusive interview with one of the great exponents of Mahatma Gandhi's nonviolence and civil disobedience philosophy.
Yeah. It's just about time to go. Yeah. We have just less than a minute left. Mary Lynn.
Yeah, you know, while David's still on, Rowena just loves David. We've had some other people asking, well, can we hear this again? They really want this information.